every one of you out. It's good to see that God's granted us another day to come together and to worship Him on this earth. If you're visiting with us, you're honored guests. We're glad that you came. Thank Brother Nicholas for reading for us this morning. We're going to be studying this morning about that character that he read about there in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to study this morning about Epaphras, who's mentioned only three times in the New Testament, in the passage that Nicholas read for us there, also in Colossians chapter 4, and in Philemon 23. He's mentioned but three times, but there is a great deal of lessons that we can learn from the life of Epaphras, from the description that we have in these three passages, and that's what we want to study this morning. We first want to point out the fact that we're to go forth and to teach all nations. We see that there is the church here in Colossae, that as we read in Mark chapter 16, that we're to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But what we read here of Epaphras and Colossians chapter 1, we see that the gospel came into every city, that it came into Colossae, as it did into the rest of the world. And that through the preaching of the gospel, that the church first was planted here in Colossae. But we see that faith was produced. In verse 4 we read, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We see that there was faith produced in the land of Colossae by the preaching of the gospel. We see also that love for one another was cultivated when it says, and of the love of which ye have to all the saints. We read of that same love in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, when it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that the love of one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We see also that hope was laid up in heaven because the gospel was preached there. In verse 5 it says, for the hope which is laid up for ye in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. And we see that the work there prospered and brought forth fruit in verse 6 when it says, which is come unto you, as is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. We see that indeed there is power in the gospel of God, that it has influence in all of the world. But as we begin to examine Epaphras, as we begin to examine these things that are said of Epaphras, we see that he was a dear fellow servant in Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 7 it says, and he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. We see the importance here, but we realize that Epaphras is the only one in all of Scripture to be referred to as a dear fellow servant. That there are others who are referred to as a fellow servant who would have been a worker of the Lord and worked in this in the promotion of the gospel as Paul and Timothy did, but it describes him as a dear fellow servant. We see that Epaphras was loved and he was cherished and he was esteemed or regarded. We see the great example of Epaphras being a dear fellow servant. But we see also that he was a faithful minister unto them of Christ. That is one thing to be a minister, that you can minister unto them, but that he was a faithful minister, that he went above and beyond in the call of duty in the ministry. And there's one other person who is referred to in the gospel, or in the scriptures rather, as a faithful minister, and that was Tychicus, who we read of in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 21, and Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, verse 7 rather, Colossians 4 and 7. And says, in my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. But when we think of the idea of being a faithful minister, we think of some of the requirements of us in order to that for that to have been said of us, that we were a faithful minister, that we must first preach the word. As we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, in Paul's charge to young Timothy when he told him to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But we're also to practice what we preach. That it does no value if you can preach the gospel, if you can preach the truth, and you can preach what you're to live, but if you don't live by it, that it's to no avail. We read in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 21. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 21, it says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou yourself? Thou that preachest a man, shouldst not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest they boast of the law, though breaking the law, dishonor thou God. We see that we must live by what we preach in order to be a faithful minister of God's word. Another responsibility of a faithful minister is to put the brethren in remembrance. So we read over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6 we read, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." We see that we must put the brethren in remembrance. But we see also that we must do all that we are able, that anything that is in our ability to do that we must do. And we read about this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11. We see also in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 8 of studying of Epaphras, that another thing that Epaphras did that we can learn from his example and something that we need to do today is that we declare unto them the love of the saints. That by his declaration of the love of the saints, that Paul and Timothy were able to hear of the brethren at Colossae and to hear of the saints there. But we see that by what we speak of, the fact that he declared the love of the Spirit, that we see that what we speak has influence on the group that we are a member of. That when you go out and if you complain about things and you're constantly talking about the things that brother so-and-so did wrong, that those in the world will not see the love of the brethren, but that we're to declare the love in the Spirit. And indeed, we have that great love here. And I oftentimes hear the brethren here talking of the love that we see here. And that gives a good reputation to those around us of the saints here. But as we also read of Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, turn with me if you would to Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 12. Where it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." So we see here that he was one of them, that he associated himself with the local work there in Colossae. That it says he is one of you, that we see the importance of associating ourselves with the local work and being a part of that family. Excuse me. But also what we see here is that he was a servant of Christ. In Colossians 4 and verse 12 it says, "a servant of Christ." We see that he was a worker for the Lord. That we are to serve God and not man. That he wasn't a servant of himself, but that he was a servant of Christ. But we realize that we are all servants. Turn with me, if you would, over the book of Romans chapter 6 and in verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 16, we read, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." Notice here, "whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." That there is no way around it, that we are either a servant of those who obey, that we're either a servant of death and our result, or a servant of sin rather, and our result is death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So we see the importance of being a servant of Christ. But we also learn from the life of Epaphras that he saluted the brethren. There in verse 12, when it says, "saluteth you," that he greeted the brethren. We see that we're to salute one another with a holy kiss. Romans 16 and verse 16. It says, "the churches of Christ salute you." But we also see from Epaphras in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 4 that he labored fervently for them in prayers. That we realize the importance of praying for the brethren, but notice what it says about it. It says that he labored fervently in prayers. The word labor here, it would indicate that it was something that was mentally draining. Something that was physically draining. And when you think about praying for the brethren, have you ever worn yourself out praying for those who are in need and praying for the local work here? But fervently shows it was with much emotion. That he had emotion in his prayers. That there was emotion in his prayer. That he felt for the brethren. But he prayed that they may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That he had a great deal of concern for their spiritual well-being. We realize that there is power in prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16, we read, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That he realized the importance of prayer. He realized the power of prayer. But we see also that Epaphras was a man of great zeal. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis." We see that we need to have zeal today, but we don't need to have zeal for the things of the world. But that our zeal needs to be for the spiritual things. Our zeal needs to be for the brethren. But our zeal must be great. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 11. And as we mentioned, that our zeal needs to be for the spiritual things. For as we read in Matthew 6 and verse 21, that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That our zeal needs to be on those spiritual things, for that's where our heart is, and that's where our treasure needs to be. I want to take you to one last passage this morning, dealing with Epaphras, and that's over in Philemon chapter 23. Philemon chapter 23. We read that he was a fellow prisoner with Paul. That we need to be partakers in the afflictions of the gospel. That we today must be willing to suffer the same for Christ if need be. Turn with me, if you would, over the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and in verse 41. Where we read of the apostles who were beaten for the cause of Christ, it says, "And when they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Christ." We see that they took glory in the fact that they were able to suffer for Christ. And that's one of the things that we learn from the life of Epaphras. But turn with me, if you would, also to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Where it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me and his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began," and in verse 10, "but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher to the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep them which I have committed unto him against the day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Jesus Christ." But we read here the importance of suffering for him, but we see the great attitude that we must have. That we see the great cause that we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. That we're not to be ashamed to suffer persecution and to suffer afflictions for the cause of the gospel, because we know the outcome. We know that if God is on our side, that no one could be against us. But one last passage this morning, in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 3. It says, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." That we're to remember those who are suffering for the cause of Christ. That we don't realize how well we have it in this country, that we're able to worship free of persecution. But we need to remember our brethren who are worshiping in other countries in fear of being in prison, in fear of their own lives even, oftentimes over in parts of the world. And I've never experienced that. I've never been to those parts of the world, but I have heard stories of preachers who have gone over there and preachers who have suffered great persecution for the cause of Christ. But we need to be willing to do that if need be, that we need not to be ashamed of the gospel, but to boldly stand up and proclaim the words of God. So when we examine the life of Epaphras, we need to examine ourselves. And when we think about it, we need to see that if we had been Epaphras, could it have been said of me, could it have been said of you, that we were a dear fellow servant, that we were a faithful minister of Christ, that we spoke of the love of the brethren, that we were one of the brethren, that we were a servant of Christ, that we saluted the brethren, that we labored fervently in prayers, that we had great zeal for the brethren, or that we were a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel? We need to examine ourselves and correct what we need to. When you come this morning believing in the gospel of Christ, repenting of your sins, that's turning from them, turning from the sins of the old man and putting on that new man. Will you confess Christ as the Son of God? You don't come and confess your sins and say a sinner's prayer, but you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession, we'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. We'll be washed in the precious blood of Christ and become whiter than snow. And upon doing that, will you remain faithful unto death to receive that crown of righteousness? Will you be as Epaphras and have these great things said about you and receive that crown that we read of in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10? We plead with you, if you have any need, please come forward as we stand.